Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
All right, so we have a special segment today. We are talking with author Kelly Knight. Kelly owns a modern mystic shop, a medical physical store located in Atlanta, Georgia, which is frequented by A-listers. And then you just came out with Spells for the Modern Mystic, a ritual guidebook and spell casting kit. So I'm really excited to kind of talk to you about this. Well, first of all, like, how are you today?
I'm so good. I'm excited to speak with you. How are you? You're good?
I'm good. It's Sunday, yeah. Which is like always a good day, and it's beautiful outside. So yeah, it's a good day. You know,
can't complain either.
Can't complain. So I guess my first question for you, since we did mention your new kit, so the ritual yes. guidebook and spell casting kit, is I guess my first question is kind of what made you want to create something like this?
Yeah, so we own, like you had mentioned, Modern Mystic Shop in Atlanta, and we started creating several years ago these ritual kits that we were selling individually, and these were spells and rituals based on my husband and I's candle magic practice. And so we were starting to, even before we opened the store, actually, we were teaching these little workshops on candle magic, specifically about the road opener ritual. And we were finding that not only do these spells really help us with our personal transformation, but they were helping our customers, you know, get the job, get the goals, you know, that they wanted, or help them with their transformation too. And so when I was thinking about what kind of book we might like to create, this seemed really obvious to me that we've had such good results with these spells. We had many more that we didn't create these kits, you know, individually for our store. So that's what we approached the publisher with. This idea of not only the book, but the kit part was really important to us, because I've realized, especially with people that are new to this work, they don't have access, or they don't even know where to get the tools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can get the book, and then you still have to figure out where to get the candles or the oils or the this or the that. So that was kind of the whole point, was because we're a product-driven company, we can create a book and a product so people can get up and running with the contents of the box and household items.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, one of the first things I hear from, you know, newer people on this path is, okay, like, where do I get this stuff? Yeah. And, you know, it can be difficult. And I think this also just makes, like, a really good gift, too.
It's so
like,
gifty.
Yeah, it really is so gifty. Like, yeah, I always have friends who like reach out and they're like, hey, I'm trying to get something for my friend. She's kind of wishy, but like, what do you think? And then like, usually I'll put something together for them, like just as a friend to give them, yeah. you know? Sure. But this is like a great already, it's already in a box. Like it's perfect yeah. to just like hand over. So you mentioned, road opening ritual. And first off, I agree 100%. Candle spells are always so potent, yes. and I feel like they always work so well. Yes. Why do you think that is, as someone who has delved into this?
Yeah, I think there's several reasons. I think because it actually works with your psychology, so it's like a psychological and spiritual metaphysical practice. The colors of the candles, with us, we actually ask you to actually evoke the feeling of the polarity. So evoke and feel viscerally what you don't want and what you want to clear, and then evoke and viscerally feel for the like the opportunities that you want. And we also oftentimes with our candle magic spells, it's self-hypnosis where you're going back and forth using the flame to hypnotize yourself. And that really gets you the ability to dive into your psyche and your unconscious and kind of get that out of the way. And then you kind of hit the magical, mystical, non-physical realm where you can generate that energy and direct it very specifically through a target. And so I think because it does hit on the psychological and energetic, you're able to kind of have a holistic kind of practice. Would you agree?
No, I agree 100%. And I think psychology is a very undervalued and under-focused on aspect of magic, and especially with like spell or, you know, candle work. One thing, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, okay, you know, you're going to be sitting there and you're not just going to, you know, daydream about like your shopping list while you're waiting for this candle to go down. You know, you have to think like, okay, how do I envision this happening? Like what could be in my way? What are some ways I haven't looked at it? How do I actually picture this playing out? And, doing that. And, you know, I agree, like, not only are you kind of like self hypnotizing yourself, but you're also kind of, and I always recommend this to witches who have like ADD or like ADHD, where they say they can't focus. I'm like, if you just go through these questions, you're kind of forcing yourself to focus on your intention. Yeah. And I agree 100%. And I love that you include that within this, because those are very overlooked aspects. Yeah. I think. Sure. So you did make this with your husband.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was great. It was great because we run our business together. And what was interesting is, so the retail side of our business, I started by myself and brought him in about a year later to help. And so it's always been kind of like my thing that he's helping with. With this book, it was really a full collaboration where we were kind of in there 50-50 with the writing and the concept and all of that stuff. So I, you know, we don't have kids, and I'm not trying to diminish like parenthood in any kind of way, but for us, this was sort of like a collaboration of birthing something together that was really both of us in there. He is, so ritual magic is definitely a practice for me. I've got dozens of stories of how it's transformed my life, and I, you know, I do ritual most days. But he is really like, he's way more advanced, I would say, than I am. Like, this is his primary modality. He's a student, he's a practitioner. And so we have like his sort of like depth of knowledge, my phrasing, like I can write about things in an accessible way. I always joke if he wrote this book, it'd be 1,000 pages long. and my experience, so I'm an experiential learner. And so we put the spells in the kit that I've experienced and he's experienced. So it was lovely, actually. It was lovely. Not to say it wasn't stressful at times. There were deadlines. Yeah. There were, you know, all of that. We had some family issues come up during the time we were writing the book, but I love it so much more that we did it together, and it's so much better because we did it together.
So a question for you about the supplies, because you have all kinds of stuff in the book itself, but when you curated the supplies themselves, like were you focusing on a specific spell?
Or so, yeah, great question. So most of so in the book, first you get the 11 candles. They're black and white candles. Many of our spells, so we pick white, as you might know, because it can be a substitute for any candle color. And so we're like, okay, we've got to get white in there, because when you're creating a kit with supplies with a major publisher, we've got to figure out how it can be the most multi-purpose kind of supplies available. And so we pick the white and black candles because many of the rituals call for a black candle and a white candle or a colored candle. With the incense, we included incense because as part of our practice, we use incense a lot as an offering. So when you're working with spirits or you're working with your ancestor altar, we wanted people to have something available as an offering. Mm-hmm. And we use oil. Anytime we do a candle magic ritual, we're using oil as that amplifier. So we selected sandalwood oil because we found it to be the most kind of universal oil across all the segments of the book, that we can kind of, you know, sort of like the most multi-purpose oil that we could think of that was available. Now the kits that we sell in our store, the oils are different. They are really created with different elements specifically for, let's say, love or wealth, etc. But we had to pick, you know, what we could do for this more mass produced product.
So Yeah, something you touched on that I think is really interesting is, you know, you said you picked the supplies that would work with the most spells. So the oil and the incense, which that's really cool. Like, I didn't actually think about when you're offering like a ritual kit. Offerings are a very common part of ritual, but like you can't throw a piece of bread in a box kit and expect right. it to like work out. Right. So that's something I wouldn't have thought of. So if there are witches listening who are just super inspired by this and they're like, hey, I would love to like make myself a kit. Like, how do you think they could like go about that?
So I would just think about, you know, research the elements that amplify, I guess, whatever it is that you're looking for. Is that what you're asking? Like how we pick the...
Yeah, so, like how do you pick the... I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that's sort of what we've done with our other ritual kits, but we really focus on the candles and the oils as our baseline basics. So I like to tell people you don't have to have the fanciest supplies necessarily, because I feel like there are some witches that are like, well, I don't have the exact right thing, and it becomes sort of a block to just getting the work done. And so I would say, first of all, like if you have olive oil, you can use that to anoint a candle if it's going to be the difference between doing the ritual or not. But then you can start to look at different herbs, different components that will enhance and elevate whatever the intention is of your ritual. And so what we talk about a lot is layering. So, you know, we've got the base level supplies that will get the job done, and then you can layer other elements on top that would amplify and elevate what you're already doing. Does that make sense? So that was
yeah and that's definitely you know, one of those things. And I think a good idea, this is a little off topic, but sure. not really. But for witches who are kind of learning how to put together their own spells or their own kits, is taking one you see like in, like, you know, maybe they pick up your thing and they're like, oh, okay, passion ritual. Okay, so let me think, why do I think they picked a red candle? Why do I think, and almost like a spell case study. Yes. So that would probably be really helpful, I think, for newer.
Yeah. For sure. And I would say, like, our book has all the essentials, and the essentials, meaning like the basic stuff that you need to do these rituals and be very successful. However, yes, like there are ways in which you can amplify any of these practices and use ours as a framework to build your own practice. And this is just based on our practice, right? So, you know, we're practitioners and we're informed and we've done all the research for you so you can have a good baseline. But for sure, if you feel intuitively led, please, you know, embellish and enhance what we've already created.
One thing I love to ask people who have written spell books is what's your favorite spell of the book?
I would say it's not necessarily a spell per se, but because we have some rituals in there. But to me, it's setting up an ancestor altar and opening the ancestral gates. That is my personal practice that I'm attending to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I never let that altar go cold. And that's my, also, I'm also a psychic medium. So that's a real good medium for me because I have the ability to actually communicate with deceased loved ones more readily than some other folks. So that's my favorite, probably ritual. My favorite spell would probably be our road opener, because it's a great entry point and it's an opportunity spell. So you don't have to be so, so specific necessarily. It just removes blocks and creates, you know, you can be a little, cast a little bit of a wider net.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you touched on, you know, ancestor altar, one, because, you know, 'tis the season. But two, because that's very similar to like, like most of my rituals is communing with different, you know, like spirits and entities. Yes. So that's really cool. And I think I don't think that's something a lot of witches who are maybe newer to witchcraft or spirituality really think about. It's definitely not the go-to way to practice. So it's always really cool when you see other people who, you know, do that as well. Okay,
sorry. Okay, no, I would say I think that's the most unique section of our book is that ancestors, there's a whole chapter on ancestral work. And I think you're right. It isn't usually featured in these types of books. And, you know, it's been my experience that they have the most invested in your transformation and in your growth because you're transmuting and elevating the whole lineage. So they're getting healing while you're doing your healing. And it's really this beautiful symbiotic relationship. And they're the closest to you. They're the easiest to access in my experience. So I just want to, I just heavily encourage people to just dabble in that because it's so potent.
No, I agree 100%. And not to get political, but we do get political sometimes. It's mm-hmm. a part of life. But 'tis the season and, you know, Halloween's coming up and people are dressing up. And literally before I got on this call, I try not to do this, but I got into a Facebook argument with somebody who did not understand why you can't dress up as Native Americans for Halloween. And I had to be like, you know, I had to share that, like, one, it causes people pain. And right. Why do something if it causes people pain? But for me personally, I have, you know, like, in my family, a history of what we believe is, like, forced adoption, which you lose culture. And if you don't kind of stay in tune with your family or do the research or listen to the stories that, you know, the great grandparents tell you, you don't know the lineage you are a continuation of.
Yes.
And then you true. Can't do the work.
And we had to separate ourselves. I mean, even for me, you know, like, I know my grandparents and all of that, but where my practice took a real deep dive was when I went back to study my Italian witchcraft roots. That, and when I was reading those books and seeing that I already do those things in my practice because it just came to me honest, you know what I mean? It just like came straight through my ancestors. So it's really, you know, when you whitewash things as a culture, everyone loses. You lose everyone because even, you know, the people of my descent, like of European descent, you are even separated from not too many generations back of a deep magical lineage.
Yeah, 100%. I actually like just got chills because
I did too.
I was getting a wonderful topic because it's so because it really is such a special topic. Yeah, I'll have to have you back on so we can just talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
But my other. My favorite question to ask people who do spell books is, what is a spell that was in the book but was taken out?
Oh, there were five. There were five.
There's spells. Always some. That's why it's a great question.
I'm trying to remember what they were. There was a ritual of, I don't know why I can't remember. I'd have to look at the manuscript. We just ran out of space. I wish I could remember. I have to get back to you on that because okay. I think like once they were taken out, we just really focused on what was there. But there's one, I think we have the ritual of power, but there was like a ritual of strength and a ritual of power. And I believe the one with power stayed in, but strength we took out because they were kind of similar, for instance. I do remember. We had pitched a whole chapter of moon related rituals, new moon, full moon, et cetera. And we decided to take those out because there were already books just for moon magic, right? And so we didn't want to sacrifice any of these other topics, especially the ancestor chapter and transformation, because we felt those were special to us. So yes, we did have some moon spells in there. That got taken out.
Oh, see, I love that. We once had Jamie Della on, and she had written like a teen witch book like back in the day, and she had just done the second edition, which was like no longer a teen witch book, but just like a spell book. Sure. And I asked her, I was like, "What is the one spell that was taken out?" And she's like, "Oh, one to get a locker next to your best friend." And I'm like, "That is the cutest
spell
I've ever heard."
Yeah, that is so cute.
But it's always just so fun. This is like super cool. So for any witches listening who are maybe a little newer or, you know, not so new, how do you suggest they approach maybe candle magic if that's just not something they've done before?
Yeah, so I would say, luckily in our book, like I would definitely read the introduction of the introduction is pretty brief, but it's about how this kind of work has affected Brandon and I's life and a little bit about us, because I think sometimes when you hear sort of case studies of this stuff working just for normal people, it makes it really accessible. Like, oh, I can try it. You know, the first time I did a candle magic spell was I was new, just like whoever else, you know, is new. And I had a tremendous result that really opened our store. And so I feel like first, like, you know, get the positive outcome story so that you can feel uplifted and inspired. Then I would say, we really do explain a lot of the why behind it in the introduction. So I would definitely read through stuff, like understand, why do you use sigils? Why do we even use candles as an effigy? Like why do we do that? You know, we talk a lot about different planets and planetary hours and directions. I think it helps you, at least helps me and maybe you too, but like to understand the why behind us doing certain things, it gives a satisfaction to our intellect to say, oh, that makes sense. Now I feel free to let go and let the magic take place. So I wouldn't skip right into the spell. I would actually take the time to read through the introductions and the understandings so you get an get a good sense of why we're asking you to do these, what might seem like crazy or long. I mean, these rituals, some of them are long. You got to get in there and, and work the energy for a while, you know?
Yeah, that's great advice. Because I think we all can attest that our first spell book, we all just flipped to the back. Like, none of us cared about the beginning. But truly, like, when you understand the logic and the reasoning and the why, you can not only really know what you're focusing on when you're doing the spell, but then you have a greater understanding and a greater appreciation for what you're actually doing. So that is good advice, because I know every single one of us was just like, where's that love spell?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the love spell. And that's the thing. And it's like, and sure, that could work. You know, the first time I did my ritual, I was very depressed and very stuck, and I was desperate enough to do anything. And my husband's like, here, do this thing. And I didn't know the why, but you know, I'm a tarot reader. That's my primary modality. And halfway through, I was like, is this shit even working? Oh, sorry. Is this stuff even working? And I pulled the star card. And for me, that's like a hell yeah card. That's like a, you're going in the right direction. Hope, like, keep going. And it was enough for me to get back on board to like really focus and meditate, you know?
I just flipped open your book, and I think I found the best ritual ever. It's called Oops, Reversal Ritual.
Yes! Yeah!
I was like, oh my God. Because totally.
Yeah. Because you know, sometimes you've got to, like, you make a mistake, right? And you've got to course correct, or you've got to, you know, just gently send energy back where it came from. Yeah, that's so funny. We try to come up. I try to be a little bit clever here and there.
So we actually had a question from a listener. This was a little while ago, but I just think you may have some good insight to it.
Okay.
I don't remember who it was. I'm sorry, whoever it was. But they said, as a lot of us are, I genuinely believe a lot of witches are very learning-based and kind of academia-based. And, you know, you want to learn, discover. This listener said, hey, you know, I love my spirituality, but I also can often be kind of a cynic. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of a ritual, I'll think to myself, does this even work? Or is this dumb? Or, you know, and what I had said was, if that's what you're feeling during a ritual, maybe you just haven't found the right thing yet. But what do you think if someone who's maybe a little newer and is just not, doesn't quite have that confidence of this is legit?
Yeah. Well, in our book, we mentioned what we consider five keys to ritual. And the last two is, one of them is insane belief. We call it insane belief. And then the last one is surrender. It's like when you walk away and you just have to know that you gave it your all and that the best outcome is going to come. So I would say it's also an opportunity to challenge yourself and your level of insane belief. because what do you have to lose to believe that you're magic? And I think that's what so many of us, you know, when I was developing my psychic abilities, my husband said, I would write everything off as like a synchronicity or coincidence, you know? And the thing that he said that changed my life, he said, why you so easily believe that it's not true? Why don't you shift to just as easily believe that it is, just for a little while? What would your life be like if you just assumed you were intuitive and magical? And I did that as a practice and it changed my life. And so I would suggest that same ritual or that same exercise to this person. They probably have those doubts in other areas of their life in their sense of being intuitive and magical. So just try it. Try to look for the evidence that you are and then bring that into the ritual. Have insane belief in yourself.
You know, I'm actually going to extend that homework to everyone listening. And I think everyone listening, a fun, spooky season, witch season challenge for 1 week. Just have insane belief and see what happens. That's great advice.
Thank you. Yeah, you'll start to see it. You find what you look for. You know what I mean? Like, it'll show up for you.
So, that's pretty much all I have for you. Was there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to touch on or you want to flesh out? No? Where can people find you and your store and your book? Yes. Well, I mean, we'll have a link in the podcast to your book.
You can find me on our website is modernmysticshop.com. We have incredible products of all kinds. We're really good access point for folks. So we have our book for sale there. Our book is for sale. Where all books are sold. Luckily, we're so grateful, and it's going to be released in a few weeks in the UK and then in Australia and New Zealand in the new year. So any English-speaking country should be getting this book rolled out soon. If you'd like to work with me, I do these lunation sessions twice a month. So if you go to modernmysticshop.com and click on experiences, you can learn how to join some of these healing groups that I do. And then Instagram @modernmystic_shop. We really try to use it as an educational space. So we share, that's me that runs it. So if you like what I have to say here, I kind of use it like a little micro blog, and you'll get a taste of what I'm about.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
So fun. So fun. Thank you so much.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.